You're listening to the Gold Digger Podcast, episode number 118. Want to know what it's like to feel like your best work is behind you? Today, I'm having on one of my dear friends, Nastia Lukin. Now, you might know her from her crowning achievement of the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing, but winning 5 medals was only the beginning for this golden girl. After returning home, she graced the pages of countless magazines and appeared on various TV shows. She started her own clothing line, Supergirl by Nastia, and had her own gymnastics competition, the Nastia Lukin Cup. She is an incredible woman who has done incredible things, but today's show is talking about some of the stuff I didn't know about her, like that her favorite moment wasn't winning the gold medal, and you'll never guess what that favorite moment was. It's pretty incredible, and it is safe to say that this woman, my friend, has capitalized on her bold entry into fame at a super young age, and I'm so excited to talk to her about how to transition your career when it might feel like your best work is behind you and how you can actually move forward. Before we dive into the show, I want to read the review of the week from Miranda Mulligan. Miranda says, I could not be more appreciative for Jenna and the Gold Digger Podcast. Jenna has been a constant inspiration for me since I started my photography business a couple of years ago. She brings it all to the table in this podcast. Everything from beginning to being an entrepreneur to a leader to a woman who is totally rocking it to marketing and social media, Jenna is the real deal. You are going to leave feeling inspired and encouraged and guided gently through business and life. Thank you again for all you do and for sharing so much with us all. Thank you, Miranda. It is so amazing to read your reviews every single week. I value the time that you spend on writing them. If you want your review read on the show, hop over to iTunes, leave a review today. It takes just a few minutes and it really helps us get incredible guests like Nastia on the show. So are you guys ready to hear from my girl, my golden girl, Nastia Lukin? Trust me, this is going to be an episode you will never forget.
You're listening to the Gold Digger Podcast, where we firmly believe that work doesn't have to feel like work. Self-made millionaire and marketing guru Jenna Kutcher will help you redefine what success looks like. It's time to hear from the experts, listen in on honest conversations, and learn the best tips and tricks that helped others pave their own way and craft their dream career. If you're ready to dig in, do the work, and tackle your biggest goals, you're in the right place. Here's your host, educator, photographer, and mac and cheese lover, Jenna Kutcher.
Yo, 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 it is Jenna here, and usually this is the point of the show where podcast hosts talk for a solid 5, 10, even 15 minutes about some product that you need to purchase or some coupon code, and maybe you're like me and you just fast forward through it to get to the actual content. But fear not, you don't have to do that here. I dropped all of my sponsors in an attempt to get back to why I started this whole thing in the first place, which is to bring you the best free education twice a week. So today's show isn't brought to you by a paid sponsor. It's brought to you by my free Instagram guide, Captions That Convert. That's right. I made a totally free guide dissecting captions that don't just get likes and comments, but captions that actually convert your followers into clients. Because what good is that number under your name if it's not showing you results in your bank account? So grab this free resource and more at jkinsta.com. That's right. We all love free. So hop on over to JK Insta and uplevel your Instagram game in no time. Hey, Nastia, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Nastia was the first guest I ever wanted on Gold Digger. Literally, I was telling her about it before it even existed. And so to have her on the show today, I'm just so excited. So many of us know all about your gymnastic success, but why don't you take a few minutes to just kind of tell us your story, who Nastia is, and what your journey has looked like and where it's led?
Yeah, I mean, obviously for me, gymnastics was something that I was kind of born into. Both of my parents were gymnasts. My dad competed at the 88 Olympic Games, won 2 gold and 2 silver medals. My mom was a rhythmic gymnast and a world champion. So when I was born, I feel like I definitely had a little bit of gymnastics in my blood. But at the same time, they really didn't want me to do it because they knew how hard it was. And as their only daughter, their only child, they just wanted me to be happy. But my happiness came from gymnastics. And when they saw how much passion and love I had for the sport, and also from a very early age, you know, some God-given talent, they didn't want to take that away from me. And so that's kind of how my gymnastics journey got started. And when I was born in Moscow and we moved to the United States, my parents started coaching at a gym before they opened up their own gym. And they had no money. They just had this dream to one day open up a gymnastics school and coach their own athletes to becoming world and Olympic champions. But they never in a million years imagined it'd be their own daughter. But they didn't have the money to afford a babysitter. And so that's really why I was always in the gym. And don't get me wrong, I loved it. Like it was like my own personal playground. I got to do whatever I wanted. And then I think that's really just how I fell in love with the sport. And then obviously, you know, started the little pre-team and then a team and kind of went up from there. That's really how I got started into it.
Isn't that crazy? I just love that your parents were almost protective of you because gymnastics is so hard. And I think too, you know, your parents, your dad was still competing when you were a baby. So seeing how much time and work ethic it took, like, I totally get it. So talk a little bit about like why the sport of gymnastics, what about it has captivated you? You're still super involved in USGA. What does that kind of look like for you? And what was it about gymnastics in the first place?
Well, I think there was, I don't really know what it was at first. I think as a young girl, it was just fun. Like just being able to be in the gym and jump on the trampoline and walk on a balance beam. And, you know, I think it was really just, I loved it because it was fun. And I got to just like, I don't know, like, you know, when you're a child and you're on, you know, the monkey bars on a playground or something. And that's kind of like what it was for me at first. Mm-hmm. And then obviously, as I got older, I think it was a combination of things. I think, you know, it's a pretty difficult sport. And there are a lot of challenges that you have to overcome. And I think I kind of thrived on those challenges. And I thrived on, especially as I got older, people telling me that, you know, I couldn't do it. And it was kind of almost more motivating. But obviously, I did it for myself. But setting those goals and then just like doing something that not a lot of people can do. And, you know, just thinking, okay, I can do a flip on a 4-inch wide balance beam, like, that's pretty cool, you know. Yes. And I think it's also the closest thing, like when you look at the uneven bars and you do a release move where you let go of the bar, do a flip and catch it again, it's the closest thing you'll ever get to flying. Mm-hmm. And so there's something so thrilling and exciting about it that it was just kind of from the very beginning, I loved that thrill. I loved the challenge. I loved, you know, everything that came with the sport.
That's so incredible. So I made it up to level 8 and that was where my career ended. I was way too tall and way not committed enough. So what was the moment for you where you knew like I could really do this? Like when did the Olympics even become a part of your vision?
Well, it really wasn't until I made the junior national team. And I did that at 12, which is a little young and early. But I think that's kind of when, and by the way, at my first national championships, when I did make the junior national team, that year 16 girls made it. And I think I got 15th place. So I barely made it. But I literally thought that I was on top of the world. I remember walking onto that podium when they announced the team and I had my national team jacket and the little plaque that they give you. And I literally thought like I had just won the Olympics. It was the coolest feeling ever. And seeing like my dad in the arena, and he was so proud and had his hands above, like his head just cheering. And I just remember that moment thinking, like that moment, I think just like really gave me so much motivation and drive through my career. Because I remember feeling, okay, if I can do this, then, you know, I can conquer anything. And then starting to think, okay, wow, so now I'm on the national team. I can now represent my country at an international competition. And I did that a few months later at my first meet at the Pan American Championships in the Dominican Republic. And then that feeling too, it was just like so cool to be able to represent my country and do something that I loved. And so I think that was kind of the year where things kind of switched in my mind of, okay, maybe this Olympics thing could happen. Obviously, it's, you know, still 6 years or so away. But, you know, now that I'm on the national team, that's kind of the first step.
That is crazy. You were 12 years old. Most 12 years old are like watching like Nickelodeon. And here you are like already setting your sights on something so big. That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, I was still doing that. You know, I was still, I had a pretty balanced life, minus the fact that I was training 7 hours a day. But, you know, my parents, it was so important for my parents too, to give me that childhood still, because, you know, you can never, it's so easy to kind of just skim through life and forget about those small moments. And they just did such a great job at, you know, knowing that I worked so hard every single day for 7 hours a day. And on the weekends, we would be a normal family and we would do normal things. And I think that was really important to have that balance in my life.
Absolutely. And I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Like, you're still so close to your parents. I know whenever you can get home, you do. And it's never long enough to stay. Yeah. And I think that it's just so awesome because, you know, your parents had experience in this and it could very easily look like they pushed that onto you. And I think you've always just had that spark within you, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely, I have to say, like, a lot of my career I owe to them, because they really, really made it all possible for me. But that being said, they never forced me into it ever. It was all something that I wanted to do. And yes, they were on the journey with me and it was a team effort, but it was all, I was kind of in the driver's seat. And, you know, my mom didn't coach me, but she really, we called ourselves like triangle. It was Team Lucan. It was, you know, I was the athlete, my dad was the coach, and my mom held it all together. She was the support side of the system. And, you know, when things went wrong or bad days, or she was always there to kind of help get us through it. And there were days, I mean, I get asked that all the time by young girls, gymnasts specifically, like, did you ever want to quit? And yes, absolutely. There were always times that I wanted to quit. And my mom had this golden rule that will just kind of stick with me for the rest of my life. And she always said, when I came home after a bad day of training, or I was frustrated and told her that I wanted to quit, she would say, you know what, that's fine, you can quit, but not today. Mm-hmm. And she would make me go back to the gym the next day and the next day and the next day until I had a good day. And I mean, sometimes that took that maybe it was the next day. And sometimes it took 3 days or 5 days or 2 weeks. And then after a good day, I would come home and she would say, okay, now that you've had a good day, you can quit. We'll enroll you back into public school, find another activity you like to do. And I would always say, what are you talking about? I never said I wanted to quit.
Funny how I forget, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, that's what and it's not just in gymnastics. It's really in life. We're all going to have bad days. It's inevitable to just get through life on only good days. And so, yes, it's okay to, you know, all of a sudden have a different passion and want to try something new, but don't ever quit on something or give up on something or move on something on a bad day.
Absolutely. Amen. Mm-hmm. So what was the experience like representing the country? What was it like to feel like the eyes of millions of people? I mean, you were, quote, one of the older gals on the team, which is hilarious. You were what, 18?
Yeah, I was 18. But
so old. I can't believe it. But what was that experience like for you? And were you able to be present when you had so much going on and so much almost pressure on yourself?
Yeah, I definitely felt that pressure quite a lot. But at the same time, I know that I put so much pressure on myself. Mm-hmm. And so that was almost like, you know, enough for me that like the outside pressure didn't even get to me because I put so much pressure on myself just to live up to my own expectations and my own dreams and my own goals. And I wanted to make people proud. I wanted to make my parents proud and, you know, Texas proud and then the United States proud and the sport of gymnastics. And so there were definitely a lot on my shoulders, but I think just because I loved gymnastics so much, I knew at the end of the day, you know, outside of all the pressure, I was doing it because I truly just loved doing it.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit. And you and I have had a conversation about this over sushi, but what was it like being like the best in the world at something at a really young age?
It was awesome, but at the same time, it was scary because I knew at one point it was going to be over. And I think that was probably the weirdest feeling, standing there on the podium at the Olympics with a gold medal around my neck and being so excited that I had just won this Olympic gold medal, and all of a sudden feeling fear because I had just achieved my lifelong dream at 18 years old. And then I was thinking, now what? You know, I have the rest of my life to live, and now I've already achieved what I've wanted to for my whole life of 18 years. But you know, it was just, it was kind of a scary feeling, but at the same time, it was pretty, I don't even know the right words to describe it, because it was scary, it was exciting, it was thrilling, it was all of these things. And then it was kind of like, all right, now what? You know, now what do I do with my life? And so it was definitely a hard transition a few years later when I finally did, you know, quote unquote, retire. But knowing that I could achieve and accomplish anything against all odds, you know, when people told me that I wasn't good enough or I was too injured or I was too old at 18 years old, and knowing that I could kind of put all of that beside me and now go into whatever it is I'm doing in life and know that, okay, if I was able to do that, then, you know, I can do this or I could do this or whatever it is. So it was pretty inspiring, I think, to know, looking back, you know, and looking at that journey and knowing that, you know, I really can do whatever it is if I set my mind to it and work hard every day.
It's incredible. I think that there would be so much, kind of like what you said, fear in that, where it's like, now what? Like, you've dedicated your entire life to this one thing and you did it, which is so incredible. But then, you know, there isn't really a long-term plan in gymnastics in the sense of being an athlete. And so what was it like, you know, the month after the Olympics and then the year after? What did you kind of do to navigate through all of those seasons?
Yeah, well, right after the Olympics, like, I don't think anybody can prepare you for that moment.
No.
Like insanity to the extreme. Like, I don't even know the right adjectives, but like, it was obviously surreal because it was just something, again, going back to gymnastics, why I started, why I did it, was something that I truly just loved doing. And so the thought of, you know, all of a sudden my life had dramatically changed and I was getting all these amazing opportunities and meeting these incredible people, and just my life had really switched very quickly. But then, you know, at the same time, I just kind of realized, like, okay, well, I should just take advantage of these opportunities because they might never come around again. And I did work hard for these opportunities, but I was left kind of feeling a little empty because every day was different for me. I didn't really have a goal because I had just achieved it. And don't get me wrong, you know, I'll forever be proud of that. But it was this empty feeling of now what? You know, I need to have a goal in my life. I need to have something that I'm constantly striving to achieve and become a better person every day. And I wasn't really feeling that for a while. And that's kind of when I decided I wanted to train again and try to make the 2012 Olympic team. And I knew that it was going to be a lot harder than the first time because I had taken a few years off and it wasn't going to be easy. And the expectations and the pressure would be even higher on me because now I was going in as the reigning Olympic all-around champion. All eyes were kind of on me. Yeah. But at the same time, I did it because I truly loved it. There was no other reason except for me loving the sport and thinking that, you know, I feel like I still have a little bit more to give. And everything else that kind of came with it was obviously great, but that wasn't what was kind of motivating me to get out of bed every day on those difficult days where, you know, I easily could have said, well, I already did it. Why am I, you know, going to continue doing this? Because I've already achieved what I wanted to.
Did you have any feelings like, my best work is behind me? Like, how do I even go forward from here?
I mean, absolutely. I definitely had those feelings, and especially just trying to get back into shape and get back into the gym and my routines and kind of thinking, okay, well, I trained almost 20 years to be that good. And now I'm kind of starting from scratch. And so, you know, am I going to be able to do this? And I definitely always had moments of doubt, of fear, of so many things that, you know, thinking maybe I shouldn't be doing this. But at the end of the day, the thing that scared me most was regret. And I didn't want to have any regret knowing that I would be in London one way or the other, whether I was competing or whether I was working or whatever I was doing. And I just didn't want to be sitting in the stands thinking, I wish I would have given it one last shot. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it didn't end up the way that I had hoped for. And I would have loved to make a second Olympic team. But I truly believe that that moment that I had at the Olympic trials, I fell on my face on my very best event, the uneven bars, and in front of 20,000 people. And I just remember being so mortified, so embarrassed. I just wanted to crawl under a rock. And I got back up because I remember my parents telling me, no matter what, you always have to finish what you've started. And so I got back up and I finished that routine knowing that, you know, my chance of making that second Olympic team were definitely over, but I just wanted to finish it for me. And I wanted to end my career on a high note. And so I landed on my feet on my dismount. And for the very first time in my life and career, I had a standing ovation for the worst routine of my entire life and career. So I was definitely confused in the moment because I was so embarrassed. I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to run out of this arena. And then when I saw those 20,000 people stand to their feet, it really just made me realize so much about life and myself, because for so many years, I always thought that people were only going to love and support me when I was the best, when I won a gold medal, when I came out on top. And the moment that I had at those Olympic trials in San Jose made me realize that people still are going to love you and support you and cheer you on, even if you don't win, even if you fall on your face. And so that was a really eye-opening moment and experience in my life that kind of just really taught me a lot about life and kind of allowed me to move forward from that moment.
That like gave me goosebumps. I just think too, everyone in the stands is like, that would be me. Like that is so relatable. And I don't know if I would have gotten up. And I think that that is a bigger lesson than perfect ever. And I think nowadays people are like hungry for feeling like they're not alone in that. And so, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I just felt like, as you said, like that moment that I had falling on my face is so much more relatable than winning a gold medal. Like not many people are going to have that chance to compete at the Olympics and win a gold medal, but pretty much every single person in their life is going to fall on their face either literally or figuratively, and they're going to have to get back up and they're going to have to keep going. And so I feel like for me, that moment just I truly feel like that became the defining moment of my career. Not when I won the gold medal, because when I won the gold medal, it kind of taught me that yes, hard work and not giving up. And, you know, if you set those goals, like nothing is impossible and you are able to achieve those dreams and those goals. But at the same time, the moment that I had in San Jose really just, it just became the defining moment for me.
Let's be honest, we all have this love-hate relationship with Instagram. We find ourselves scrolling, we're hashtagging our way into oblivion, trying to crack the code on how to get more followers, and we're straight up exhausted from the rat race. I get it. That is why I want to help you. This show is made possible with the help of my totally free Insta resources to help you write captions that convert, to use hashtags that actually connect you to your dream clients, and so much more. Hop on over to jkinsta.com and get your hands on my resources created with you in mind. That's right, it's free 99 and it is waiting for you over at jkinsta.com. Go dig on in and I'll see you over on the gram. Ugh. That's amazing. I'm like teary-eyed over here. Okay, moving on. What was it like then for you to decide, like, what am I going to do with my life in a great way? How was that chapter of moving forward, choosing NYU, moving to New York, like all of that? What did that look like? Because it couldn't have been easy.
Yeah, I think that was probably the hardest moment of my life, kind of that transitional phase of not having something in my life that was so important to me and that really defined me as a person. And it just forced me to grow up, to move on, to figure out what my next passions were, to meet people that were not gymnasts that were not in the gymnastics world and just meet really amazing new people. And so moving to New York was actually, I really truly feel like the perfect thing to do in my life because it forced me to do all of those things. And going to school was something that I was completely set on. I just didn't know when that would be. And so I thought it was the perfect time in my life to kind of just move on to this new chapter and close another chapter. And it was the most amazing experience. It was, don't get me wrong, it was so difficult. Moving to New York City, I'm the only child and super close to my family. And, you know, moving that far away from home was definitely difficult at times. But at the same time, it really did help me kind of grow up and mature and, yeah, just appreciate those little things, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big move.
Like, yeah,
that's a giant leap.
Yeah, it definitely was. But I remember coming home like a few months after I moved and, you know, just telling my dad that I didn't, first of all, I moved in January and being from Texas, I was not used to snowstorms and blizzards. And so that was a challenge in itself. But I just remember being lonely and afraid and, you know, unsure if this was the right thing to do. And I just remember telling my dad that, you know, I'm not sure that I want to be here. And he said, okay. Well, you've already signed your apartment for a year. So stick it through. And then when you come home for Christmas, if you want to stay home and if you want to transfer somewhere here, that's totally fine. But give it a shot. Don't just give up because it's hard. And I remember coming home, you know, a few months after that or for summer or for Christmas and then just being like so excited to go back to New York. And and so it was just like kind of this period that I just had to like stick it through and get through those hard times because then I fell in love with the city and, you know, NYU wasn't exactly easy, but again, it was that challenge that I truly loved. And yeah, I was just kind of motivated by that.
Oh, so let's talk a little bit about how your career has evolved since graduating. So you went from being a gymnast to going to NYU. Now you have your blog and the app and all the things. You're a correspondent for the Olympics. You're doing a lot of stuff. Whenever I text you, I'm like, what city are you in? What time zone are you in? Where are you today? So talk to me a little bit about, yes.
Yeah, but it's been, I'm so thankful in just like everything that I've gotten to do because, you know, winning the gold medal for me was almost 10 years ago. And I never imagined, well, I didn't know what I'd be doing, I guess, 10 years after that, but I never would have imagined that I've, you know, had the chance to be able to do what I love to do. And part of that is inspiring that next generation of, you know, young gymnasts or just young girls or people all over the world. And so I've loved being able to do that through my platform. And, you know, social media is obviously, you know, I feel like there's pros and cons to it, but one of the pros being, you know, you do have this reach and you have this platform to do whatever you want with it. And so I've always tried to kind of remember that and put myself in those young girls' shoes. And I was one of them one time and I was looking up to my idols and my inspirations. And so my fiance and I actually started a business and launched an app. It's called Grander Sports. And it's really about connecting, you know, myself as a mentor and some of my other Olympic teammates. And, you know, it's been really fun because we're able to connect to these young girls and hopefully inspire them one day on their own journey. And so basically it connects aspiring, you know, women athletes to their heroes and inspiring content and from connecting and communicating with them and hopefully learning some valuable lessons also for their sports. And, you know, we're starting in gymnastics as that's kind of an obvious, but we're going to move in different verticals. And so it's just been really fun too, because I think, you know, over the 20 years that I did gymnastics, I definitely learned a thing or two. And so to now be able to have that knowledge that's just kind of like stuck in my mind and to really be able to now carry that on to the next generation and hopefully, you know, they're able to do something with that. So yes, it's, you know, it's been a really fun business to kind of create because it's this every day in my life again, where I'm super passionate about it. But at the core, it's truly about these young women and inspiring them and giving them a platform where you know, in today's age where so much is going on, that they feel safe, mm-hmm. that they feel like they can come here and have a voice and know that, you know, it's this safe community and they feel okay and they feel that they can share whatever is on their mind.
I think that's incredible. And one of the things that's so unique about gymnastics is it's a very isolating sport in a sense. Not many people get to do it in their school, so it's a club. And I know for me growing up, you know, my only friends were my gym friends because I was that girl leaving school, rushing out to get to practice. And we didn't do the normal things, you know, we trained. And so I think what an amazing way to connect people. And I know that if I was a young girl and my idol was teaching or sharing, I would be all ears. So I think that that is incredible. And what a use of the platform that you have. It's pretty crazy.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, again, gymnastics for me gave me so many amazing things and also lessons, I guess. I learned so much throughout my career. And so I think the importance of having a mentor in your life is extremely important, and not just in gymnastics and not just, you know, on the app, but just in life. And now, you know, I constantly try to surround myself with people that I can learn from, that can inspire me. And I think that's really important in life, to surround yourself with those kind of people.
So here's a weird question. Has it been hard growing up in front of America's eyes? Because I feel like people probably still look at you as that 18-year-old. And now, you know, you love different things. You love fashion. You love home decor. You're engaged. How has it been like transitioning your audience that is probably a lot of fans and kind of showing a different side of yourself?
Yeah, that's super interesting because I still feel like I'm learning kind of what they like and what they love, because, you know, as any person, you definitely evolve and you grow up and you change and you start, you know, like you said, I do love fashion and home decor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now my relationship with my fiance, I love being able to kind of share our journey as well. And so kind of figuring out, you know, at the core, I do believe that a lot of my fan base, you know, loved, you know, my gymnastics career, and, you know, they love when I post gymnastics stuff and everything. Thing. But, you know, I also think that they have also kind of grown up with me. And so they also maybe transitioned out of gymnastics as well, or, you know, also love fashion and those types of things. So it's been fun for me to kind of, you know, try different things. And that's why I love, you know, again, the platform of social media and my blog, and just being able to really explore and kind of see not only what my passions are, but kind of what theirs are as well.
That's awesome. So how do you set your sights forward and create new goals from a successful chapter? How are you kind of transitioning through each chapter of your life?
Well, I think setting goals, as you right kind of said, is extremely important. And, you know, having those short-term goals, but then also the long-term goals. And so just like in gymnastics, it's just as important to do in life. And Matt, my fiance, and I, we actually kind of have made it a tradition that every New Year's Eve, we, you know, take out a piece of paper, a poster board, and we sit down and we kind of write out our goals and the things that we want to achieve, you know, moving this year forward, or, you know, kind of like one step further than just, you know, the New Year's resolution that so many people tend to kind of fail, give up on a few weeks in. Yeah. And so that's kind of been really fun for me too, because it's looking at, you know, the big picture, because I feel like sometimes we just get caught up in the small picture in the day to day. And we're also busy and we sometimes forget about, you know, looking at the big picture. And I'm definitely such a planner in my life that I've had to also step back a little bit and realize that some things I can't necessarily plan for. And I just have to go, you know, with the day to day and yes, have that big goal in mind, but not get too ahead of myself and think, okay, but I was supposed to do this by, you know, this year or something like that.
So since this is called Goal Digger, can you share one of your goals for the new year with us?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one of my biggest goals right now is to continue growing our community on our app right now. And, you know, it's, again, it's just been so much fun to be able to find something that I'm so passionate about every single day and really being involved in on the business side of things as well. And then continue taking it across different verticals. So we definitely want to move into different sports, and we're staying focused on women's sports just because it's so underserved compared to men's sports when you look at the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, all those things. But on the women's side, there really isn't a place where young girls can go and learn more about, you know, how to achieve their goals or how to learn from their mentors. And so we're hoping to move into, you know, sports like swimming, figure skating, soccer, dance, you know, possibly cheerleading, and in all these sports where, you know, it's so important for these young girls to have role models and to have a place where they can learn. So that's kind of my main focus, I feel like, for this year. And then for, you know, myself personally, to continue building my brand and figuring out what exactly it is that I love to do. I mean, I finally just graduated from NYU last year, so I've really only had a year of my life where I haven't had a commitment to, you know, training 7 hours a day or being a full-time student. So just like everyone else, you know, I'm still figuring everything out too. And it's been so much fun to kind of be on my journey, you know, with people that truly love me and support me and at the same time that I can learn from and be inspired by. So on my personal brand, I guess, you know, I'd love to get into more hosting and doing on-camera stuff and just haven't really had the chance or the opportunity to do it because, you know, because of gymnastics and because of school and doing a lot of different things. But, you know, this year I really truly want to kind of focus and dive deep on the things that I'm really passionate about.
What was it like being a commentator on a sport that you know so well? Was it like surreal to be getting paid to like speak about things that you love?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a challenge because I know these young women and the men so well, and they've become my friends. So I have to remove myself from being their friend in the moment and kind of being there as, you know, an analyst and doing my job. But at the same time, knowing that, you know, I was in their shoes once, and I know sometimes when, you know, people aren't as positive, it can affect you. Mm-hmm. And so I remind myself that. And so I truly feel like there's a way to analyze and to critique and to kind of talk about what's going on in a positive light. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean you have to be like, oh, that's okay, sweetie. Like, you can try better next time. But, you know, I truly feel like there is a way, and I can really relate to these athletes because it's whether they're going through an injury or a hard time or whatever it is, I feel like throughout my career, I've kind of been through it all. And so I always try to put myself, you know, back in their shoes and kind of see, okay, how are they feeling? What's going through their minds right now?
Well, I thought what was so awesome about hearing your voice is, you know, you're not that far out of the game, so you can relate. Like, you have so much empathy in the sense of giving people almost a behind the scenes look of like what is going through their minds and what, you know, what they're losing sleep over at night or what that pressure feels like. And I think what was so awesome is I think it connected the audience to the sport in a new way because, you know, you can talk about skills and list releases and say all the technical stuff all day and all night. But for people that have never been in this sport and now suddenly they're captivated again because it's an Olympic year, I think that you just gave the sport a humanness that maybe it was lacking in the past.
I hope so. You know, that's kind of been my goal is I feel like gymnastics is one of those sports where it's so difficult, yet the athletes make everything look so easy. And obviously that's the goal. You know, the gymnasts want to make everything look easy, but truly it's not. And both from a mental and a physical standpoint. And so I hope to kind of give those viewers, especially during an Olympic year where, you know, gymnastics attracts so many fans every 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I kind of hope to give them that inside look of what it's really like, because when we're out there on the floor, we don't have a voice. Mm-hmm. You know, we're out there just competing. And then you might have a 10 to 30 second, maybe a minute interview after your performance where you honestly can't even wrap your mind around what just happened. So it's probably not, you know, the best voice. So I hope to give these athletes a voice of what it's really like and what is going through their minds. And yes, as you said, like the technical aspect, you know, is important in gymnastics. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what I kind of find more fascinating is the stories and kind of the behind the scenes story of what it took for them to get there. And not everybody knows that. And some of the stuff's not even, you know, on Google or Wikipedia. So really getting to know these athletes and kind of sharing their stories, I think that's really incredible. And that kind of hopefully draws the fans in even more.
Absolutely. So before we wrap up, one thing that I value about you and what I think is so incredible is the friendships that you made in this sport and the friendships that you keep. And can you talk a little bit about what it's like? Because, you know, these people are your competitors, your competition for so long, and then suddenly you're on a team with them and you're representing a country. So what was it like to kind of navigate those relationships with other females? Because I think a lot of women struggle with that. And how have you maintained those relationships through the years?
Well, I think you, like, what you just said is so true. And it's very rare to see women supporting other women. And I just think that is so powerful. And so, yes, when you're younger, I do feel like that's harder to do because you don't really understand what that is or what, you know, that's kind of about. But I do believe that the U.S. national team has always been so great with just the bond that these young girls and women have between each other. And, you know, at the end of the day, yes, we're competitors, but we also want the best for each other. And we all are friends, you know, no matter what anybody says. I know, like, people have always tried to, like, pin us up against each other and, you know, say that they're not friends and that they're just competitors and all this stuff. And, you know, when you're young, that's really difficult to go through because you start believing those things. Whereas in reality, like, that's not true. Mm-hmm. But then when you start hearing so many people say that, you're kind of like, you get that in your mind and you're like, oh yeah, maybe that's right. But it's not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what's really cool about the sport of gymnastics and about the national team is, you know, going to our training camps and just being able to bond with each other. And it's the time that we spend outside the gym together that we really get to know each other as teenagers or as young women. And now, you know, going back, you know, just my Olympic team, for example, we're all such great friends, and we have created this bond over something that was so incredible, you know, competing at the Olympic Games, that we'll have that bond for the rest of our lives. And I think that's so special. No matter what's going on in each other's lives, we all live in different states around the country. But when we're together or we're just texting or, you know, whatever it is, we're family now. Mm-hmm. And gymnastics has been able to bond us. So I think that's pretty special.
It's amazing. And I think too, you know, when we were hanging out in New York, the older we get, the less we need a ton of friends and the more we just crave those really close friends. I think relationships take so much work and, you know, we're all so busy these days. So how have you kind of stayed in touch with your friends and really garnered those relationships throughout the years?
You know, that's so true. I think when I was younger, and I'm sure this is like the same for so many people, but you think that you have to have like dozens and dozens of friends to kind of realize like, nope, that's not the case. But I think the most important thing, and kind of going back to it, is surrounding yourselves, you know, with the right people and the people that you love, that they love you, and that truly inspire you and try to make you a better person. And I think that's what it's all about, is, you know, you're going to go through friends in your life where, you know, they were supposed to be there at that point in your life, but maybe not forever. Mm-hmm. And I really believe everybody in your life is there for a reason. And whether it's to teach you something or to, you know, to have fun with or whatever that reason is, I believe like there's always a reason for everything. Mm-hmm. And so to just, you know, not always be, if that person's not in your life anymore, that's okay. You know, it's they were in your life for a reason at some point. But I think, you know, it's so important to have a close group of friends that you can trust. And that's really hard to find. It's hard to find people in your life that you love and that you can trust. And so if you can at least have a handful of those, or at least just one or two, then I would consider, you know, yourself pretty lucky.
Amen. So if you could give one piece of advice to a listener who is going through a transition or moving forward, what would that be?
I think the most important thing about transitions is, first of all, acknowledging and realizing that it's a very difficult thing to do no matter what transition you're going through. So, you know, cut yourself a little slack first and know that it could be a bumpy road. But the most important thing is also staying true to yourself. And I think today with social media and just the way that the world is, it's really easy to be influenced by different people or different things or different paths in life. And so to remember kind of what the core, your values are and what you love to do and the people that have been there for you since day one, not the people that have kind of come into your life when you've, you know, been at the top or on a high or, you know, whatever that might be. So staying true to yourself and then just sitting down and really asking yourself, what is it that I love? What are my passions? What is it that I want to do? What are my goals? And you know what? It's okay if you don't know. And being okay with that and knowing that, you know, I don't maybe know what my next goal is, but I know that I'm going to make it a priority to figure out what that goal is. And so, you know, I think a lot of us get frustrated or upset when we're lost or confused or we don't know what that goal is. And I think most importantly, it's okay that, you know, that might happen, but always keep it a priority to have that in the back of your mind, to constantly be thinking and evolving and wondering, you know, what is it that my next goal is if you don't have that yet?
Oh, that was so good. I just want to soundbite that and play that over and over and over again. So where can everybody find you and connect with you? Share all of the places that we can engage with you online.
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram and Twitter, and my handles are at Nastia Lucan, both the same. And then my Facebook page is facebook.com/NastiaLucan08. And then my blog as well is NastiaLucan.com. So I'd love to kind of hear from people too of what they want to see and what they want to hear more of. Because as I said, I'm, you know, I'm still learning what everybody wants to hear more about me or, you know, the topics or the categories. So I'd love to hear from people.
Well, I can tell you what I love. I just love seeing you every day. And I think that it's been so fun to kind of navigate life with you. Like you said, you have been with so many eyes on you for so long. And I feel like you are really just settling into who Nastia is today. And I think it's such a beautiful journey to watch. And I think it's so inspiring for so many of us who, like you said, we don't always know what's next. And I think that there is something really beautiful in that.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I finally feel like at 28 years old, I'm finally very happy and confident in who I am. And it took me 28 years to get to that. So for all those women out there, whether you're younger than me, my age, even older than me, it's okay if you're not there yet, but you will get there. And again, just stay true to yourself, stay true to who you are, keep surrounding yourself with people that just make you a better person, that inspire you. And, you know, one day you will get to that place where you finally feel like you're there.
Amen. And with that, gold diggers, I will leave you. But if you can hop on, let us know what your biggest takeaway was. Thank Nastia for coming on to this show. What a blessing. Thank you so much for coming on. It is a dream come true for me to have you on this podcast.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So there you have it, guys. Wasn't Nastia amazing? I swear I had goosebumps and tears in my eyes just hearing her share her story. And what I think was so incredible and what my biggest takeaway from the show was and learning from her was that a lot of times the best moments in our lives, the most defining ones, those aren't the ones with the accolades and the medals. It's the ones where we actually get up and keep moving after we've fallen on our face. And what I think is so cool is that not many people remember that moment for Nastia. We remember the podium moments. But the truth is that she is so close to that moment, that quote, perceived failure, that she could close her eyes and remember it. And the truth about life is that so many times we are so close to our failures. We think the world is watching and judging us. But at the end of the day, what is so incredible is that everyone else's heads are down looking at their own failures through the microscope of life. And what I loved when Nastia shared that story is that she brought you back to that moment of having to decide, am I going to run out of this stadium or am I going to get up and finish what I started? And what a beautiful example of what it looks like to get up after those hard moments. And so today, I just hope that when you learned from Nastia, you heard those big messages that it's not over and that you can continue moving forward. And it's okay to not know what's next and to really cling to those people in your life who are there through the thick and the thin. And so I'm so thankful to have Nastia on the show. What a beautiful friend she is to me and a constant inspiration. If this show spoke to you, would you just take a quick second, pop on over to our Instagram at Gold Digger Podcast and tag Nastia to say thank you for coming on and tell us what your biggest takeaway was. I can tell you that it means so much to us to hear from you and to learn what you are learning as we tune in each week on the show. Until next time, Gold Diggers, keep on digging your biggest goals. And thank you again for hanging out with me for another special episode of the Gold Digger Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Gold Digger Podcast. Dive into the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at www.golddiggerpodcast.com. If you love the show, share it with a friend. The more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time, you gold digger, you.